Welcome to the Dear Diabetes Podcast. Diabetes can be hard. This podcast is not. You'll find a friend with the Dear Diabetes Podcast.
Hi there, and thank you so much for joining me today. I am Renee, aka Diabetti. Today, I have Eric Williamson with me, a fire captain who also has type 1 diabetes. How are you today, Eric?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm doing great. You know, we get a lot of questions about what if I'm in a car wreck and I'm passed out and I'm insulin dependent? You know, is wearing a seatbelt cover that says insulin dependent, is having a keychain, a medical alert necklace, you know, what would you say is the best thing to have?
So for us in the emergency medical setting, because we respond both to fires and to medical aids, anytime somebody's altered or they're unresponsive, right, we're always going to check a blood sugar on them to see what their blood sugar is, whether they have diabetes or not. Because being altered or being unconscious has a lot of different factors. So regardless of whether you have diabetes type 1 or type 2 or not, we're still going to check your blood sugar. Now, definitely if people are wearing some type of medallion or like a bracelet, it'll definitely clue us in on a couple things. One, this person is probably diabetic. Two, they potentially have low blood sugar. Does it change our treatment at all? No, not really, because we're still going to check a blood sugar regardless of whether they have a medical alert device or not. I would say where it's most beneficial is honestly in the non-emergency setting, but just like out in public. If someone starts acting kind of funny at a restaurant, let's say, they're kind of slumped over and someone from the public walks by and goes, and they can't wake him up. And they look down and they see they have a diabetic, you know, bracelet on or diabetic medallion. They call 911 and say, I have somebody in the restaurant that's passed out. I think they're diabetic. So as we're responding to the call, it kind of already gives us an idea of like, okay, we're probably going to an unresponsive diabetic. And really, if they have type 1 or type 2, it really doesn't matter because the treatment is still the same for us. If their blood sugar for us is less than 60, we're going to treat it the same way. So if they can swallow, we're going to give them oral glucose. But most of the time we start an IV and we administer what's called D50, which is dextrose, or we'll give them a shot of glucagon on the arm if we have to. So the actual, for us in the professional setting, we're always checking blood sugars. We check probably a blood sugar on 90% of our patients. But they're really beneficial like in your private life with people you don't know out in public. If you're exercising like by yourself, I wear one on my wrist when I go out running and I'm just out running by myself. If I go down, someone's going to walk by and go, oh, this person has diabetes. We should call 911 because they're not waking up.
Well, so let me ask you a
really
question.
Beneficial in your private life. Yeah.
You know, I think one of the things that kind of went around on the TikTok avenue was, you know, if you're in a car wreck, that they don't always, you know, check you necessarily for your blood sugar, and people can assume that you have OD'd and you might get hit with a Narcan. That is something I've repeatedly heard on TikTok. And again, I know TikTok is not a source necessarily for fantastic, you know, when it comes to news like this, medical news. Is
yeah.
that specific to where you work, or do you say the majority of places do a blood sugar check?
In the professional setting as paramedics, I'm also a paramedic too. Like our standard protocol for anybody that's unresponsive is minimum a blood sugar, because that's going to dictate how we treat those individuals. Because if your blood sugar is, let's say, 80, but you're unresponsive, then it's going to be like, okay, what else is causing this? Is it a narcotic overdose? Did they just have a heart attack? What's causing them to be unresponsive? Flip it around, check their blood sugar, and it's 40. We're going to immediately start with treating for low blood sugar. And then if their blood sugar comes up to, let's say, 150, and they're still unresponsive, then we're going to go down a different path to try to address what's being unresponsive. So in my 22 years of being in the fire service and being a paramedic for 20 of those years, anytime someone's been unresponsive, regardless of devices or anything that are on them, they always get a blood sugar check. Now I live and work in California. I don't know how it is across the country. That's our standard of protocol in Sacramento County where I work.
Well, I think you've definitely calmed some people's nerves with that, because I have heard that repeatedly, and I thought you would be the go-to person to ask. So I appreciate that.
I mean, if people do want to be advocates for themselves and have some type of device on their seatbelt, or like I said, a medallion or a bracelet, I've seen people that have like type 1 diabetics like tattooed on their arm, whether that's a personal thing or a health thing. You can never not be your own advocate, right? So if you want to build in any type of preventative measures or alerts, I 100% support that. But for us, we don't specifically start looking for medallions or bracelets or anything like that, unless for some reason everything we're doing is not working and we're trying to figure out why is this person unresponsive. There has to be something that we're missing.
Good to know. I really appreciate being so thorough with that answer. And you touched on something else, which was, wearing the different types of medical alerts. Like you said, you wear one on your wrist. Now, there are a lot of beautiful ones, I will say now, that are on, for example, Etsy. And they don't necessarily look so much like a medical alert as much as a necklace. Is that something that we should shy away from, or would that still be looked at? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. And I definitely get that people, some of the medical alert bracelets aren't the best looking, and people like to, have style and, express themselves in that way and stuff. I think the biggest thing on it is if you do wear one, have the appropriate information, have like your name, have your medical condition, have if you have any allergies to medications, because those are really going to determine how we treat. We don't really specifically need to know which medications you're on or anything, but the biggest things we really need to know is name, medical history, and allergies to medications, because we don't want to give you a medication that you're allergic to, because then that opens up a whole nother Pandora's box of another medical problem that we have to address, as well as like a low blood sugar for whatever reason. And from my experience, I've never encountered anybody that's been allergic to the dextrose or glucagon, but you never know.
Well, and I appreciate that, because there's a lot of people with a lot of thoughts on it. And to hear from someone who's actually living this and doing this every day, I think that another question people get is, or people wonder, is how can I best protect myself going out if I am, do take insulin and I can have a low? What do you suggest, or what is it, some of the most common things that you see that someone gets in an emergency situation?
So usually when people have lows, it's a combination of a couple of things. One, it's taking insulin, not eating. Two, a lot of times it's a change in insulin regimen, and they haven't quite figured out like their insulin to carb ratio yet, or their corrective dose regimen yet. A lot of times we encounter people that are on sliding scales, and sometimes sliding scales work really well for some people. Some people, they don't. But a lot of people that have low blood sugars are usually on sliding scales, because they're giving insulin based on a number, right? And sometimes it's too much, and they crash, and we get there and they're unresponsive and their blood sugar is 40. But in terms of like what to do, like in your private life, my daily life on the fire engine, I have a go bag on my fire engine. In that bag, I have a spare glucometer. I have some fast-acting glucose in the form of goo, which is a running energy gel. There's 25 carbs per packet. I have a variety of like glucose tabs. And also in my turnouts, I keep a pocket full of goos. So if I start to feel like I'm going low, or we turn the corner and there's a big column of smoke, and it's like, oh, time to go to work, I'll take a goo, knowing that I'm pre-planning that. So a lot of it just kind of comes down to planning. And, having a little tiny like go bag, whether it's a purse or, as my daughters call it, my satchel that will go with us on vacation and stuff. And they know that bag has some fast acting carbs, some glucagon, spare glucometer, spare CGM kit, spare infusion set, all that stuff. So a lot of this is a little bit of planning and thinking about how could my evening go. In terms of other devices, like I wear the Dexcom G6 and a tandem insulin pump that has the Control IQ, and those things are great. Like the CGM, I think, is probably the biggest game changer in diabetic management in the last probably 20 years, especially the newer technology, which gives you predictive lows and predictive highs. That can really help you go, oh man, I feel like I'm going low. Look down at your sensor. Oh, I'm 80 with an arrow going straight down. I better take some real quick glucose tabs or energy gel or something like that, just to stabilize it out. So a lot of it's kind of like, you know, it's self-monitoring, knowing how your body reacts, how you feel, because we're all different. My lows feel different than your lows. My highs feel different than your highs. So a lot of it's kind of like self-awareness.
And, you know, it's also for those people that don't feel lows, which is, you know, I know can be very scary. And that's what's so great about this new technology. You know, you were talking, you know, about yourself and your bag that you keep at work. You know, I think there's some people that think, you know, I have diabetes now. I can't do these certain things that I wanted to do in life. Do you mind speaking on that a bit and you know, about kind of your story, if you don't mind sharing?
Absolutely. So I've been in the fire service since I was 19. I'm 41 now, and I've been a diabetic for 7.5 years. So I was diagnosed at 33, basically right in the middle of my career. And when I was diagnosed, I'm not going to lie, I knew no other type 1 diabetic firefighters. I researched hours upon hours looking for stuff. I found a couple. I talked to them via email, and I actually found there's a couple of my region. So we definitely reached out and talked. And there's definitely challenges in terms of planning. And that's one thing that I learned about it is you can do whatever you want. It just comes down to a little bit more planning every day. You know, it's like, how's my day going to look? That's why I have my go bag on the fire engine. That's why I have all my stuff in my turnouts as a backup plan in case something happens. I'm an avid runner. I just ran the New York City Marathon with Beyond Type 1 in November. There were 50 of us that all ran it. And every one of us in there were there representing the estimated 504 million diabetics in the world to show we can do whatever we want. You know, it might take a little bit more planning, but nothing can stop us or hold us back. So when I hear people say, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, a lot of it comes from what they've been told. And what I always tell them or parents or kids is like, you can do whatever you want. You know, it might take a little bit more work every day than the average person, but the benefits supersede everything, you know? So get out there, play sports, become a firefighter, become a cop, become a teacher, artist, whatever you want to do. You know, diabetes doesn't define you, but what you do with it defines you. It's kind of the motto that I've adopted over my last 7.5 years of doing this. And I've talked to a lot of people that have felt that they can't do anything. It's like, no, you can do a lot of stuff. You can do a ton of stuff, actually.
I actually had someone ask me the other day, you know, how do you have the courage to go to the gym and work out with a CGM? And I think, you know, for me, I feel better about it when I just am honest with it and upfront instead of trying to hide it. And I get that things used to be a lot different before you'd see commercials with people wearing CGMs, so that can also help people feel more confident in it. So I appreciate you sharing, you know, your story. Can I ask, what are some of your favorite low snacks?
Well, I have 3 kids, so we have an ample amount of fruit snacks in our house. So usually, like, you know, and a pack of fruit snacks is about 15 carbs. Is that, and then it's, people always laugh when I say this, but like Halloween, it's like a diabetic's favorite holiday because you get to replenish all your really good low snacks. So whenever it's Halloween, it's like, okay, kids, I'm going to take the Reese's Pieces. And there's like a little bag in our pantry that says, these are dad's low snacks. Kids, don't touch. You can have the other bowl. So it's, you know, it's, but that's one thing I will say about like lows is people do have a tendency to overtreat them. And really it comes down to figuring out what works best for you. You know, because I remember when I was first diagnosed, it was like, oh, I'm low. And I just eat and eat and eat. And I was like, oh man, now I'm super high, and take some corrected dosages. And it was just a roller coaster.
And that roller coaster does not feel good, that back and forth swing. You know, I think one of the things that, you know, I had to learn to do is to measure things, to have like those 15 carb things. Because if I open a box of cookies and I'm low, I'm going to eat the whole box because I can't stop. Yep. And it's so weird how that does that to us. How do you deal with having lows, you know, during work when there's like so many things going on with your job?
So really that's where it's really where Dexcom and the CGM come into play. With my Tandem pump, I use the Control IQ. So the two pieces of technology talk back and forth. So it's done a phenomenal job of limiting or reducing my insulin if it's sensing I'm going to go low. And vice versa, it's done a phenomenal job of correcting potential highs. Because I go on an active fire scene, your body's going to naturally dump glycogen for the energy needed So you're naturally going to start to go in a higher realm. And the Tandem and Dexcom have done a phenomenal job talking together to maintain and manage everything. And when it comes to work stuff, I have a food scale. You know, depending on what we're having for dinner, I'll weigh and I'll measure stuff. Whenever we have like pasta, everybody at work always is taken aback by when I show them what an actual serving size of pasta is and like how many carbs are actually in that serving size. And they look at their plate and they say, don't weigh my plate. Please don't weigh my plate. I won't weigh your plate. As their plate's like mounding with pasta and I have a little tiny 2 ounce thing of pasta.
Yeah, you can't, pull the wool over your eyes when it comes to how many carbs you've had, because your body will let you know. You know, you talked about using your Dexcom, and for those of us that aren't really familiar with the latest and greatest in Dexcom, which is the one that you're on right now?
So I'm on G6 right now, and I know G7 just got it's got released probably 2-3 weeks ago after the public, after FDA approval and everything. And for me, I'm holding off and to move into the G7 until it's integrated with the Tandem pump, because of, and I go back to this, the Control IQ technology and those two pieces talking is honestly, in my opinion, a complete game changer and a life changer for me. It has allowed me to go and just live my life as I normally would.
I love you talking about this. What is the Control IQ for those of us that aren't really familiar with that? I've heard the terminology, but I don't know what it means.
So Control IQ is part of Tandem's t-slim insulin pump. It's basically an algorithm. So it has built-in ranges of 70 and 180. So based on the data that it's receiving from the Dexcom, it will do a couple things. One, it'll maintain your glucose if you're within a certain range. If it senses that you're going to go below 70, and it usually gives you about a 20-minute warning, it will limit the amount of insulin you're getting. If it senses you're going to go below 70, it's going to cut off your insulin completely until you come back up above 70, and then stuff will go back to normal. On the flip side, if it senses you're going to go above 160, it's going to give you a little micro dose of insulin. If it senses you're going to go above 180, 200, and so forth, it'll give you small amounts of insulin to bring that back down to where you get into that target range of 70 to 180. Now, that's my target range. Everyone's is different. And that's really where it comes to trial and error, working with your endocrinologist, working with your diabetic educator to figure out what your target range is and really what works for you. I know plenty of people that are on MDI and don't like CGMs. Yeah. And people with that MDI works for them. I think it's great. I think it's awesome. For myself, MDI doesn't work because I don't have time to give myself an insulin shot on the fireground.
That because I'd love to hear both versions of this, that, you know, who works, how it works best for you.
Yeah.
So that's great info.
When I was first diagnosed, I was on MDI and I did MDI for about 6 weeks. And then I realized I was like, this is not going to work for me. This is not going to work for my lifestyle. It's not going to work for my career, my profession. And that's whenever I worked with my endocrinologist and diabetic educator, and we got on the CGM, we got on the Tandem pump, and I've been on it for 7 years now. And it, like I said, it's been for me life changing and a game changer. I can go out and do everything I normally would without having to worry about carrying insulin pens with me or stopping to give myself a shot. I can just set a couple settings on my pump and go to work or go run or go work out or go for a hike or go swimming. You know, there's all kinds of things. My kids like to call me a robot because I have two devices on me and like a little tiny computer. So they're always like, you know, daddy's plugging in right now. but for them, they've known me my entire life with this. It's just part of life for them. You know, my daughter helps me change everything.
That's awesome. No, I appreciate you speaking to that because, for example, I wear the Freestyle. Oh, I'm forgetting what arm it's on. The Freestyle Libre, yeah. But then I'm also a multiple daily injector. And the reason being is my insurance just does not cover much of a pump or the pump monthly supply. So, you know, it's still great to know what other options that are, you know, out there. So I appreciate you going over that. One last question before we get off here. When it comes to medical, information alerts that you can put, for example, on your smartphone. What do you suggest to put in there? Do you also put the emergency contact? Do you put your insulin, the amount of insulin you take?
So your smartphone's a challenge because most of them are locked. So a lot of times we're not reaching for smartphones unless we have a way to unlock it. Sometimes we'll grab it and maybe try to like scan your face sometimes, but it's going to be kind of the same information. Like the big heavy hitters for us is name, birthday, medical information. In that case, medications is something great to know. Allergies to medications. And then really one of the big things is like hospital of preference. You know, if you're a Kaiser provider, you want to go to a Kaiser hospital. If you're not Kaiser, you want to go to a different hospital. That way it gives us the ability to provide the best patient care that we can to get you to the appropriate facilities. So on terms of like the medical bracelets you might wear, name, medical history, allergies to meds, those are great. If we're getting more detailed, name, birthday, history, meds, allergies, because those things all help us determine what medication we will and won't give and which route we have to go. But like I said at the very beginning, regardless whether you're diabetic or not, if you're unresponsive or altered, we're checking a blood sugar just to see what it is.
Well, thank you. I think you will calm a lot of people's nerves when they hear this. So thank you so much for your time.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Dear Diabetes. If you did, please like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on the Dear Diabetes podcast as well as diabetes.com.